From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of an episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast in which Hank talked with Pastor Rankin Wilburn, author of Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. Let's now rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and Pastor Wilburn in their conversation.
I think part of the problem here is that we don't know our tradition. In fact, tradition has become a bad word in and of itself. So we're oftentimes biblically literate, but not historically literate. So people have a sense of the art and science of biblical interpretation. At the same time, they can't think back past the Reformation to the riches of the tradition of the church that ultimately gave us the Bible.
Yes. The one chapter in the book that I had the most difficulty writing was I tried to do a sketch of church history of Union with Christ for my conscientious readers who would be asking, well, who are you to say it's at the center and heart of the gospel? You're some pastor we've never heard of who lives in Los Angeles. And I was trying to say in that chapter, Hank, this is not my idea. You can pick your theological hero from Augustine to Luther to Calvin to Wesley to C.S. Lewis. You can pick your hero, and I can show you that union with Christ was at the heart of their theological program. Even if they meant something slightly different by it, they all agreed this was at the heart of the gospel. So this isn't my idea. This is an idea that actually the best and most conscientious hearts and minds, Catholic, Protestant, and Orthodox, could sit around a table and say, yes, that is the good news.
If you think about deification, I mean, you have to, this is inextricably bound together with the church, because the church is a spiritual gymnasium in which you receive graces. And I was very heartened when I read in your book the weight that you put on the graces that we receive in the church, whether it's the grace of baptism or the grace of the fellowship of the Lord's communion. There's something that happens that energizes us, that gives us the ability to experience union with God by partaking in these sacraments, and you can't do that apart from the church, and therefore the Christian life cannot, by definition, be some kind of individualistic endeavor.
Hank, all the pieces are falling into place. I mean, when union with Christ is lost, it explains our low view of the church, but it also explains our low view of the sacraments. Again, not universally, but why do so many Protestants have a view of the sacraments so at odds with our tradition? They don't even know our tradition. And I would say, well, it's because we've lost union with Christ as an idea that the sacraments are how the living Christ nourishes our faith experientially and truly and spiritually. So the sacraments are how we live out our union with Christ, meditating on the Bible, where the living Word communicates with us. That's why the Bible is living and active, because the living Christ who is in us, the same Spirit that inspired those words is the same Spirit that is in us and speaks spirit to spirit. Union with Christ is how the Bible becomes a burning bush again, out of which God speaks to us. So recovering union with Christ helps us so much, not just with how we view the church, but how we view what you've called these means of grace.
I love the metaphors that you use in the book, and sailing is my favorite one, perhaps in the whole of the book. A good metaphor for our life with God. We're always dependent on a power outside of ourselves. Cash out how you use that sailing metaphor.
Yeah, life with God is not a motorboat where we're in control, but neither is it a raft where we're just floating along. We are dependent, as in sailing, we are dependent on a power outside of us to move us, in the sense that all of transformation is by the grace of God. So we are always dependent on God's power. And yet, as in sailing, it is incumbent upon us to draw the sail, to catch the wind, as it were, I talk to people all the time who say, I feel very far away from God. And one of my first questions is, are you drawing near to God? Are you availing yourself of the means God has provided for you to know and commune with Him? And do you see these means as means of communion, or do you see them as rote duties that are kind of dry and arid? So I like that idea of we have to become skilled in catching the wind. But even as you catch the wind, you're not the power propelling yourself forward. A lot of times in the Christian life, we think, why am I not changing? And it's like a man standing in a sailboat and blowing on his sail, wondering why he's not moving. No, we have to catch the wind.
You know, another thing that communicates in your book is, I think you use the illustration of a piano. If you really want to be liberated and have this euphoric experience of being totally free in playing, you have to put in thousands of hours of discipline. It never changes. I mean, I think about this with respect to golf. I mean, I played golf for over 50 years. It's not as though I can say I have achieved and I don't have to work at it anymore. No, I got to work at it. It takes so much effort, but there's a euphoria in hitting a golf shot like you once did. There's a euphoria there that is worth it all. I mean, you just hit that one pure shot and you say, wow, this was worth all the practice. So there's a sense in which you have to really work at it. You have to work at these disciplines in order to have this euphoric metaphysical experience.
Absolutely. I think the phrase second nature is such a wonderful and instructive phrase. We want the gospel to become fluent for us, but to use another metaphor, like speaking a foreign language, you have to practice using this new lens, using this new perspective, using this new mindset, and that is difficult and onerous and hard. And we don't say that enough, especially as Western Christians. We're not talking about works righteousness. You are united to Christ, you are safe, you are secure. So we're not talking about that, but we're saying now that you're united with Christ, now you press on to become who you are. I think the analogy I use in the book is teaching my little boy how to ride a bicycle. It was probably my favorite picture in the book because it's so poignant to me that I want my son to be able to enjoy riding his bicycle, and it was quite difficult and quite painful. But I want him to do this so we can enjoy riding together, so we can enjoy being together. And that's what these disciplines are. They are means to an end. They are means to experiencing what you talk about, the perfect golf shot. I think as Christians, we can also say, not always, but occasionally, God meets us as we draw near to Him. And there is a sweetness there that, Hank, I dare say, not even your best drawing 5-iron from 180 yards could fill your heart of
that's
the
right.
Sweetness of God's presence.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great metaphor, though. You know, you said in your book, and I don't want to get personal beyond where you want to get personal, but you say in your book that there was a time you felt like a fraud, that there was a chasm between what you said you believed and what you were actually experiencing it. And to some extent, that became a driving force to dig deeper.
Yeah, I think there is a measure of health in that for all of us. I think if we're going to read the New Testament with integrity, for instance, Jesus said, "He who believes in me, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." And I think we need to ask ourselves, are rivers of living water flowing out of my life? Do I even know what that means? Would the people around me say, wow, there's living water flowing out of his life? And I think that collision between the promises of the Bible and our actual lived experience, I think that is a traumatic collision. And I want to say to all of your listeners, if you're feeling that trauma, that is a good trauma. As T.S. Eliot said in one of his poems, in order to grow better, our sickness must first grow worse. You are on the road to healing if you're feeling that trauma. But I think most conscientious followers of Jesus at a certain point They feel that. They look at the promises of the Bible, they look at their life, and they feel that gap. And they ask themselves, what am I supposed to do about this gap? And I use the word fraud because I felt like the words I was saying and the life I was living, I'm not just talking about blatant hypocrisy. I'm more talking about, I'm telling people how wonderful Jesus is, and in my own heart, am I sensing the sufficiency and completeness of Jesus? And I think to arrive there is a journey, and that union with Christ is both the end of the journey and is the means of the journey. That Jesus says, that's right, I am with you, and I will carry you all the way home. And we are learning to walk with him.
We'll pick up Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Pastor Rankin Wilburn in just a few moments. The Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute's growing array of outreaches have never been more needed than they are today. And that's why we won't be shy in asking you to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute through your persistent prayers and generous financial support. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and CRI in the battle for life and truth, and as our thanks for your gift, receive a copy of Pastor Rankin Wilburn's Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Pastor Rankin Wilburn on this special edition of the Bible Answer Man. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or just visit online at equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI, or visit us online at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank and Pastor Wilburn in their conversation.
What about the answer to the Lord's high priestly prayer, that we all may be as one? Sometimes when I even say that, I think, wow, this is a panacea, it is impossible, but then immediately you think, who am I as a mere speck of dust to question the living Lord of the universe who prayed this during his earthly sojourn, that we may be as one as I and the Father are one? This oneness with respect to the body of Christ. Do you ever feel like this is never going to happen? This can't happen. I mean, what can we do in a practical way to work towards the answer to our Lord's high priestly prayer?
Well, let me put John 17 in conversation with Ephesians 2, which is another great picture of unity in the Bible. Paul doesn't say that one day Jesus will tear down the dividing wall. He doesn't say that one day Jesus will make the two one. He says that Jesus has made the two one and has torn down the dividing wall. In his wonderful book, Life Together, which is one of the great books on Christian community written in the last 100 years, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that the Christian community is not an ideal to be realized. It is a reality to be embraced. Mm. And he says something so profound in that book. He said, people who love community destroy it, but people who love people create community wherever they go. Now that is, you talk about being practical, Bonhoeffer is saying, do you love your ideal of the Christian community? Because if you do, you'll hold other people hostage and you'll end up destroying community. Or do you love people? And do you see that God has brought you together? This is your brother. This is your sister. You don't know them. You don't feel like that's true. But it is a divine reality. Now, become who you are. Live into this. You are living a lie if you are living an unreconciled relationship with a brother or sister. And if you do that, you will create community. So to your question of John 17, I read John 17 and Ephesians 2 alongside one another to say, I have made you one. Now strive to live as one.
That is beautifully said. You know, I'm in the fourth quarter of my life. There's no question I'm in the fourth quarter. You are like probably half my age. But when you're facing your own mortality, as I did in particular with my cancer, when you think about your legacy, you think about where is my legacy, what would I most want to have the peace about when I'm laying on my deathbed. Maybe it's hard for you to go there, but talk about what your life legacy, I mean, if you're thinking about it right now, what is it that you would have liked to accomplish with your life?
Well, let's apply this lens of union with Christ to this whole question of legacy. And it really gets at the deeper question of ambition. You know, what is your ambition? And if your ambition is, I want to know Christ, and I want to be completely expendable to his will, I want to be his servant, whatever he has for me. I want my legacy to be how he judges me, not how anyone else judges me, because my goal is him. My goal is not the verdict of men. My goal is the verdict of God. And if that is true, if communion with God is the goal and union with Christ is the path, then this whole question of significance and legacy gets recast. It really does. It's the same week Billy Graham died, a young physician in his 30s in our community died. And his spouse had spent most of the last 2 years caring for him. And I ask, you know, is she living a significant life? You know, no one knows who she is. She is behind the scenes caring for her sick and dying husband. And significance is faithfulness. And I think everyone involved in Christian ministry, Hank, you asked me to be personal. I'll be as personal as I can. I think everyone involved in Christian ministry, that the passage in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 10 through 15, where Paul says, each one's work will be judged. How I read that passage is, the Lord works through us and in spite of us, regardless of our motives, right? I mean, God is at work, to God be the glory.
Yes.
And if God chooses to use you, to God be the glory. And if you truly did it by Christ and for Christ, that will endure. And if you did it to the degree we did things for our own name, that is what Paul calls wood, hay, and stubble. God still used you. God still worked in you, through you, and in spite of you. But I think this whole idea of legacy and significance, we have to put that on the altar and say, Lord, the only thing I care about is being faithful, and each man's work will be judged, the Bible says, each person's work. And on that day, the motives of our heart will be laid bare. And I hope privately that resets our ambitions.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, I love that passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, there's no other foundation other than Jesus Christ, but you can build on that foundation. But it does make clear that we ought to be building with those things that endure, gold, silver, costly stones, as opposed to what you alluded to in the passage, wood, hay, and stubble, the things that the breath of God's mouth will consume.
Yeah, I think we have to be careful assuming Billy Graham lived a more significant life. In The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis has I think her name is something like Sarah Smith. The point Lewis is making in The Great Divorce is this woman whom no one on earth knew was a great hero in heaven.
Mm.
And she was a great hero because she was godly and holy and humble. And that God sees that and God rewards that. And our idea of significance has to be recast in living for the eyes, judgment, and approval of one. And whether or not we've lived a significant life, we'll leave that to God.
Yeah, you know, that's something I think about often. Beware when all men speak well of you. I mean, because it's really not the filter through which we should judge our lives. I think that's what you're getting at. I mean, the real issue is an audience of one.
And speaking of reality, that's all that is going to matter. I mean, that's what posterity thinks of you is vanity. And I think one of the reasons with so many of us love Billy Graham is I think somewhere he said that. I think he was keenly aware that he held the approval of men very lightly. As Paul says, if I care about the approval of men, I would not be a servant of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I loved your book, and we're excited to be able to let people know about this book. But I think it is an enchanted reality that most of the Christian world's unfamiliar with. And as you've humbly said, you're excavating a treasure. You're not bringing something new to the table. But really, the way in which you laid this out, I think, is a great service to our generation. And there's no more central message to the gospel than this message. And unfortunately, many people are unfamiliar with it, but reading through your book will really help them understand this central message. This, I think you talk about this in the sense of dark matter, right? It's all around us. And it's entirely possible for something to be that central and for us not to know that it is central and even not to know what it is.
Yes. Except the stakes are so much higher with union with Christ than dark matter. But that's exactly the point. I mean, I hope, Hank, I love that you loved the book, and I hope the light bulb you had is what I hope more and more people have of, wow, this is good news, this is the gospel, and I want everyone to know about this wonderful biblical truth of union with Christ.
Well, it has been my pleasure to host you. I know that this conversation has been stimulating to a lot of people listening in. And thank you so much for writing the book and for the openness and candor of the conversation today.
Hank, it was an honor to be on your show. I really enjoyed it. We could have talked all afternoon, so I enjoyed our conversation. And if you're ever in L.A., I'll see if I can get you onto a golf course.
Well, you know, I used to live in Orange County, lived in Orange County for many, many years. I come to L.A. quite a bit, so we'll have to connect sometime.
Okay, Hank. Well, wonderful to talk with you, and to be continued.
Bless you, my brother. And again, thank you for tuning in to this edition of Hank Unplugged. It is the podcast that brings some of the most informative, interesting, and inspirational people on the planet directly to you, and today was no exception. So thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with another episode of Hank Unplugged.
Thank you for listening to this special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview with Pastor Rankin Wilburn in its entirety, go to equip.org, iTunes, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. As thanks for your gift in support of the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the book Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or just visit online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. In his book, Union with Christ, Pastor Rankin Wilburn shows that our neglect of union with Christ explains the gaps between our faith and our lives. When the work of Christ for us becomes abstracted from the person of Christ within us, is it any wonder there is a chasm between our beliefs and our experiences? If we're serious about being agents of change for God's kingdom, we must first realize that we cannot be transforming unless we ourselves are being transformed. And that means putting down deep roots into the life-transforming waters of God's Spirit. Be sure to read Union with Christ, The Way to Know and Enjoy God by Rankin Wilburn. Receive your copy by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or just visit online at equip.org.